skip ahead a little bit because something's been bugging me.
The way that microphone is angled, if John says something, it won't get picked up.
You turn around.
So the way that is when you say
sucking wind for no reason. Thank you.
What was it on?
All night. It was on the fan. Oh. But the thermostat's broken, so you need the AC.
No, it's off. I put it up on.
Whether it's off or not, last night we tried it. We couldn't get it to work. Well, now it's working. This part over here won't work.
It doesn't work if the thing is off. Let's go to Romans 11, verse 33.
I made a little progress. Did we make progress?
No.
We're
skipping ahead for a minute. It struck me that we really don't understand the demands of God for faith. And therefore we don't understand our purpose. And let's just look at it. In verse 33 of chapter 11 of Romans, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. It's a targum of what Isaiah said. My ways are not your ways. So we have no, unless that's comprehended, that there is nothing that your mind can do that is a way that you think it can't be. You got everybody accept that as a...
Can you run that one more time?
There's nothing that you can do vis-a-vis your mind or your habits or your activities. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to please God. Because the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and into him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Now, then, that's the predicate. Now, Paul's response to that statement, I beseech you, I beg of you, on bended knees, it's so total that it's beyond, he's not asking, he's pleading with you at every level. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your highest possible service. That's what the reasonable means there. And the service is the word laetril or something like that, that it means service to God. It's the same word that's used of what the priest did in the temple. So you have one job, is to present your bodies, the entirety of it, a living sacrifice that you holy, which is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or transfigured, is what the word says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove you may know it for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, do we do that? Do you do that? Do you present your body a living sacrifice at every juncture, at every aspect, at every nanosecond of your life? Or how often do you revert to the familiar? How often do you revert to your own understanding Now let's go to one other. Go to Romans 14 a minute. Well, you can go there later. Romans 14, 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's no other basis. If it's not of faith, it's sin. Now we read the scriptures and we marvel at the incredible things, like all the children of Israel left their places in Egypt and they got to the Red Sea and they were bound in, and the Pharaoh and his chariots were rushing at him, and there was a big sea before him. And he not going to stand still and see the salvation of God. There's many other places. There's a whole jillions of Amorites and Moabites that were about to, and Syrians that were about to attack Israel, and they said the same thing. The Lord said to them, "This is not your fight. Stand still." And if we read Hebrews 11, we see all of these incredible statements about how. Well, let's go there. Romans 11. I mean Hebrews 11. Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews 11.
What is the point you're addressing here?
That you have no faith.
Boil it down.
You got it now?
Clear.
All right. I'm trying to explain why this, the night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years.
Okay.
Starting verse anywhere. Starting verse.
Got it.
29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were surrounded about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others at trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So again, we hear, when we could read the whole of the Bible, and we see stories of this heroic faith, right? And so we automatically, in our minds, we think that the only time that faith comes into play is when there's some big deal. And we are so completely deceived. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In the smallest details of our life, if we don't have the same response that Moses did at the Red Sea, or that Jesus did just before when he said, "Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this." He said, "No, for this hour came I into the world." When he was in the garden, he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine." The secret of life is that Jesus never exercised any reference to his past. And he never exercised anything but faith. So in the daily, mundane things of life, each instant, each eternal now, had the same importance as every other, these massive, grandiose moments. If he didn't lean on his own arm of understanding in those extreme moments, you can bet he didn't lean on his arm of understanding in the smallest moments. And so whatever it is, on a day, second by second, second by second basis, if you ever revert to cause and effect, or if you ever lean on your own arm of understanding, then you've fallen from faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And all sin is equal. There's no degrees of sin. You can be a raging homosexual, murdering and child killing everybody around you, and you are no more guilty than you if you use cause and effect in the smallest detail of your life. Is that?
Well, that's insulting.
Yes, I hope so. I hope it insults the hell out of you so that you stop the incessant activities of no faith. Now, speaking specifically to the smallest details of your life, they must also be of faith. Not on referring back to the familiar, not in making any reference to your own experience, not in making any reference to your own past. It must be of faith. Be you transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world in any activity. Now, you wonder why. You know, you wonder why. Why am I plagued by fears, and why am I plagued by this and that? And why, you know, it's ad nauseum. Oh, it just come upon me. No, it didn't. You've made the Holy Spirit your enemy when you are of no faith. Anybody understand me? It's total. There's no ranking of importance of deeds. There's no ranking of importance of stimuli, whatever it is. Because otherwise, you can't raise part of it from the dead and keep. You can't have, you know. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And of faith means out of the source of faith, at the exclusion of everything else. The moment you give somebody advice, the moment you say what you think somebody should do, the moment you say what you think you should do, then you've left faith.
That's why it's let your yay be yay, nay, nay, and anything more than this is whatever that word.
And that's why there's no distinction between your secular life, quote unquote. There's no secular life for your believer. And how does this man live? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? How can you possibly have every nanosecond of your life of faith, out of the source of faith? My answer to you is, how can you not? How can you dare to revert back to the ways of the Gentile? Let's go to Numbers 15, I think, or 9.
Requires a whole lot of repenting.
Now, the only question I have to you is, are you dedicated to the Lord? If you're not dedicated to the Lord, then just ignore everything I'm about to say to you. And ignore 99% of the scriptures. All right?
on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, in verse 15, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire. It wasn't fire, it was the appearance of fire. Until the morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment, and again, hear me, God is calling that cloud and that appearance of fire, or light, as the commandment of the Lord. And this was the type, this was the parable for you to see. The cloud in you is if you have a choice. If there's more than one thing, there's one, two, three, if there's anything more than an obvious movement, light, then you wait, you do nothing. When there's light, there's no darkness, there's no shadow of turning, then you, boom, you never make a decision. A believer never in their life makes a decision as a believer. Now, the reason I know this so critically, so intently, is right. You heard the story a million times. After when I had the experience, the conversion experience, I could never again help myself. That was the takeaway. And it went all the way to the loss of everything, the loss of down, blah, 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 down to the point of being homeless, where I was cold, hungry, and had nothing. I was ready to die rather than lean on my own armor of understanding for anything. Now, my question is, are you... Because if you're not, then you can never know that Jesus Christ is in you. You will hope he is. You may like him to be. Every once in a while you may actually believe it for a minute. But you won't know your own self how that Jesus Christ is in you. And so again, your faith will be a philosophy. An add-on to your life. And that is sin. Again, you might as well go do everything that your mind has ever said, because the no faith is equal no matter how big the deal is. So here we have the lessons of faith, of how a believer conducts himself or herself in the world. Now let's go. We just started. Verse 18. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode on the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud carried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereupon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that the cloud is doubt. If you have more than one option, that means that there is something in your life that's either idolatry or guilt by which you're operating, or else you're putting on the Babylonian garment. And in order for that to be excised, you wait. Even at the very expense of your own life, if need be. Otherwise, your faith is just a philosophy. Meaningless crap. When you come to Bible study every day for the rest of your life, you can come up with wise sayings your whole life. But if in that tabernacle of you, as the tabernacle of the Lord, if you're not obeying that as the commandment of the Lord, then you're just going to be another Gentile, the mixed multitude following the people. Does anybody understand? Anybody? Can anybody say amen?
I just don't like that at all.
I know. No faith is really comfortable. We've every invention that man has ever made since the day of the cross has tried to make no faith really comfortable, and it's done a damn fine job.
It's interesting how simple this was, because the cloud...
It's still simple.
I know, but there it was. I saw it. But for us, we have to see what it means now in light of... We don't have cloud.
Well, that happened for our benefit, so we can know what it means. Yeah. If you don't believe what I've said this morning, tell me. We'll have a little discussion. But it struck me how we admire and we stand in awe of the great moments of faith. That's not where life is. Life is in the second by second thing of whether or not you're tempted to lean, go back to your own arm of understanding. Go back to the familiar.
That's erecting idols. Great moments of faith, it's immediately separates you from God.
You objectify it. You think, well, that's good. Well, we'll make a movie about that. Well, I'll tell stories about that.
Rather than see the parable.
God would rather have you tell stories about the mundane. So that faith is in every second of your life. Instead of just some debate about it with yourself or some other crap.
Yeah, he might be here. He might be here right now. He might be doing something right now. So if I'm busy thinking about losing weight, for the last 10 years, that's.
Then you should have done it.
By now.
What do you weigh?
10 pounds too much.
Consider it a cloud.
No, you got to hear me. I've told you from the beginning that this is not the Bible, the gospel is not good news to man. It's the worst news that you could ever hear. It's good news to God, or it's good news to Christ, or it's good news to the kingdom. But it's never the gospel of man. And we have so prostituted the meaning of faith. We've made it into a now. What faith are you? You should put no faith. Those that do are more honest than the rest of us. Kevin, what's going on?
I was just thinking the result of faith is... Christ is manifest, and the result is love.
Amen.
If I try to analyze a situation, I've tainted it because
I've put my own perspective on what's good for you or me or us, or and so I try to come up with a solution. That's not faith. I trust that when the cloud goes up, Christ is manifest, and there's love, unfeigned love.
Amen. No acting. No more concern with how you respond, with anything. You're free. This is the glorious liberty of the children of God. Everything else is bondage.
The sin that so easily entangles.
The sin that doth so easily beset us. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
It gets entangled when I try to start
analyzing.
Doing God's job.
Yeah,
that's the entangler. As soon as you put it up into here to process it.
The moment you're trying to help somebody, the moment you want to be Jersey boy, save the world.
Ain't saying nothing.
Can't we just get along? See, Miss Josanna has been right all these years. Every time, for everything she said was, I know what the problem is. You don't have any faith. That's what the problem is.
You just don't believe.
Well, that's true.
Well, if we try harder.
Yeah, how's that gone for you? How's that worked out for you?
That broke me as a teenager. I thought that faith was something that you did. And I tried real hard, and I couldn't come up with it. And the result of that was 30 years of apostasy. I don't know how I got that wrong idea, but I did.
It's so simple. Just don't revert to that which has failed you before. You know it's failed you. There's not one of you it hasn't failed more times than you've probably taken breaths. Oh, but this time.
You know that my ways are not your ways never stops. There's no place where that's not true. So you can't figure it out in any way. Even if you say, oh, that's good, now I'll work with that one.
These endless books that are written. Oh, just is obscene.
Trying to prove that false.
Oh, I listened during I couldn't bear to watch a football game, so I listened to, what's his name? T.D. Jakes. He's an incredible preacher. But it's what he was saying last night. This is what got me on this, which is bullshit. Oh, no, I've said shit.
I'm disconnecting your cable.
What?
I'm going to disconnect your cable.
Some software that edits all these words out.
It's so simple.
Why? You can see that it's like non-smokers or ex-smokers have such a disdain for smoking now. That there's a place in faith that living in with no faith is as disdainful.
Amen.
Like God says, whether you be hot or cold, live by no faith at all.
You know, along with this, is it's good to know that the sin offering lieth at the door, because if you recognize no faith, the next thing your mind will do is want you to do some penance, you know, or suffer.
Well, for you, you should.
And I probably do. But the sin offering lieth at the door, so I don't have to worry about that.
But that's why repentance isn't an act, It's a way of life. It's constant. It can never be anything other than total emptying. I love it when I see these guys write sermons. How in the hell can you write a sermon?
Engage your brain.
Just,
yeah.
I don't understand. But I don't understand equally how these thousand things that have failed you constantly in the past that you still rely on.
You know, what's the sermon thing? I don't get that.
Writing a sermon?
What's the difference between that and writing the last word?
He lets John write that.
Well, I don't. I just write a bunch of thoughts, and John fixes
them.
He has a good attitude.
In the same way here, you just say a bunch of thoughts, and we figure out what it means.
Yeah. But you can't. I mean, you know, you
have to help us.
The only thing that we can do, the only thing a preacher can do, the only thing you can do or should be doing is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And judgment must first begin in you as a house of God. Then you're determined to speak of nothing until that's been worked out in you. And then when you speak, then people will listen if it's been worked out in you. If it hasn't, it'll be, you know, tinkling brass or whatever that word is. But this is a big deal. It doesn't get much bigger than this in terms of how you conduct your life on a second by second basis. This is what it means. The word being sober means this. The word ungodly means anything else. We don't need to read Jude again, do we?
Don't need to.
You have to see with the same clarity that of how addicted to self you are. And that, you know, as I said so often, you have to feel that if you ever even rely on this thing for the slightest, the most seemingly insignificant, that it's you've got to see it as death. And you just live. Love God and have fun. Got to find out for yourself. Know you not your own self, while that Jesus Christ is in you. If he's in you, he, in his humility, he will always take the back seat. He will always go to the, and as soon as you say, well, I got a solution, I know what I'm going to do, this is how you do it, then he reverts. He goes back down to the state of emptiness. Cannot occupy where you are. He cannot compete with your opinions. He cannot compete with your value systems. He can, but he won't until he does it last time. Now will I arise. Well, you don't want to hear that.
We had this conversation last night about the mind, not trusting your own mind. But then you also don't trust somebody else's mind, which is equally fallible. And carried on out, you don't trust the universal mind. There's no mind that you can place your confidence in. It's faulty, and either you agree with that or you don't. But once you see it, then abandonment is not...
Abandonment is the only...
Yeah.
Place.
It's the...
Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross, and you will follow him. No more reverting to the familiar. Because all the familiar, every familiar way of doing something or how you think something should be, that's just the traditions of men. Certainly no revert to your own self in any way. You know, that just goofy. I used to be so good, but now I don't know. I'm just getting old.
Not time to go.
Trying not to smile.
Yeah, roll over.
Rain him in.
Take a big guy.
Is it over? You can take it.